This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English Service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Douglas Impoga in Washington.
First, the deepening global trade tensions are affecting the whole world, not just Africa. Second, the slow pace of domestic reforms, especially debt management and efficiency of public sector institutions.
That's Albert Zufak, Chief Economist for Africa, the World Bank, on the causes of slow economic growth on the continent. Also, the World Bank says African economic growth remains slow. The UN says about half of all children in Africa are not registered at birth. And Zimbabweans are reeling as the economy continues to plunge. We'll have all those stories and more, so stay with us. There's a lot more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Mozambique held general elections today, with pundits saying it could be the biggest test yet for Frelimo, the party which has been in power since independence. The president said the elections are being closely observed, but civil society groups say thousands of would-be monitors were denied credentials. Tom Boker has more from the town of Shai, Mozambique.
As Mozambique went to the polls Tuesday, the ruling Frelimo party faced its biggest challenge yet from the opposition Renamo party. But amid an escalating insurgency in the north and pre-election attacks on political campaigners in the south, President Philippe Nyusi said the country had chosen peace. One of the things that Mozambique has decided to follow is peace, he said. Peace meaning no violence, and this will start to be part of the culture of Mozambique forever. Nyusi made the comment after casting his vote in the capital, Maputo, where he also declared the election would be widely watched to ensure the best party wins. These are the most observed elections in the region, he said. During the last election, we had about 10,000 observers. Now we have more than 40,000. But in Gaza province, a traditional Frelimo stronghold, election observers say authorities only granted about 1,000 observer credentials, half the number requested. Paola Monjan has been coordinating the civil society election observation effort in the province.
We worry that because it seems and it shows that there is an interest to block civil society to observe. And particularly in a province that had problems, or the numbers of people who were registered were very, very much contested. It was important for this process to be much more clear and let the observers to observe, so that gives a bit of credibility of the number that we will get at the end.
Leading up to the general election, Gaza province has been embroiled in controversy and tension. Last week, members of an elite police unit shot dead the leader of a local election observer mission. Anastasio Matavel was killed as he left a training session for local observers on how to ensure a fairly run election. Authorities admitted that police were involved in the killing, an act that shocked many and frightened some observers away from polls, which few analysts expect to be free or fair. Suspicions were raised in Gaza in April after a controversial voter registration saw the number of voters exceed the number of adult inhabitants by 300,000. Mozambican journalist Fernando Lima has followed every election since the first one in 1994. He noted that while there was enthusiastic voting in other parts of the country, turnout was very low on Tuesday in Gaza province.
Now we are in the middle of the afternoon. We are 3 hours from the closing of the polling stations, and there's almost no people queuing or expecting to vote in the next couple of minutes.
Mozambique's elections are widely expected to extend Frelimo's rule over the southern African nation, just as it is set to become a major gas exporter. Oil giants ExxonMobil Corporation and Total are leading projects in Mozambique's north to tap one of the biggest offshore gas finds in a decade. Official election results are not expected until 2 weeks after polls close. Tom Bowker for VOA News, Shai, Mozambique.
Earlier, I reached my colleague Amancio Vlanklos in Cabo Delgado to find out how the voting process was going.
So far, the process is going, I won't say smoothly, but with some issues here and there, but at least there's no violence. There's been already complaints of attempts by ruling party Frelimo of trying to rig elections by putting false bullets in the process. And the leader of Renamo, which is the main opposition party, came and announced this in the Iga Dusabik, where he went on to vote, and with some issues with members of the electoral body, but not an escalating violence.
There had been concerns that insecurity might keep some voters from voting. How was the voter turnout today?
So far, the voter turnout is good. We have at least 2 hours more for the voting. It will be closing at 6 o'clock. It's now around 4 o'clock as we speak. In many voting sessions, we saw many people turning out to vote, and people comparing with previous elections, people say this is a good situation because in previous elections, there were really a lot of people not coming to vote, meaning that there was a lot like abstention. But at least today, many people are going to vote. But of course, there are issues in Northern Kapvilan province where at least 5,400 people won't be able to vote because of insurgents. That's in the district of Musimo de Praia, Muidumbi, and also Makumia, where at least 2,000 people have been killed since 2017 by a group. Some say Islamists, some say Al-Shabaab, but still not very clear who are these people attacking poor village in the region. So at least 5,000 people won't be able to vote, but so far there was no any reported incident related to this group of insurgents.
There had been insecurity leading up to this election, and Mozambique hasn't had many free and fair elections in the past. What are the chances that the losing party will accept the results of this election?
Actually, today, the leader of Renamo, Mr. Usuf Momadi, he said that if the results are not in favor of what he thinks the followers of his party are looking for, like to win elections, he says he's no one to blame, meaning that he will not accept election results if he feels that they were rigged. There are already concerns on this attempt of elections being rigged. So in the next 48 hours, maybe we're going to have a better picture of how the opposition will react to this attempt of rigging elections in Mozambique. As you say, elections were never free and fair in this country, and often opposition will go back to the fighting in order to have their complaints heard.
Lastly, when do we expect the final results?
As per the law, final results will be announced by the Constitutional Court 45 days after the vote. But experts say that at least next week we'll have a preliminary result, and that's where there are these fears of violence if elections are not in favor of the opposition and if the opposition feel that the elections were rigged.
That was Amancio Vilanculos. He spoke with me from Cabo Delgado. The World Bank says deepening global tensions and natural disasters resulting from effects of climate change have slowed down economic growth in Africa. In its latest report, the international lender says growth in sub-Saharan Africa remained slow through 2019. From Nairobi, Ruben Chama reports.
The report says persistent uncertainty in the global economy and the slow pace of domestic reforms are hindering economic growth in Africa. Albert Zoufak is the chief economist for Africa at the World Bank. He says overall growth is expected to rise to 2.6% in 2019 from 2.5% in 2018.
This anemic growth reflects three factors. First, the deepening global trade tensions are affecting the whole world, not just Africa. Second, the slow pace of domestic reforms, especially debt management and efficiency of public sector institutions.
The effects of climate change were blamed for natural disasters such as the deadly tropical cyclones in Mozambique and Zimbabwe, and persistent drought in East Africa, weakening agricultural production in the region.
Climate shocks, such as the cyclone that affected Mozambique, Zimbabwe and Malawi earlier this year, and alternating drought and floods that are reducing farm production across Africa. All of this translate into a decline in exports and investment in African countries.
The recovery of three of the continent's largest economies, Nigeria, South Africa and Angola, has remained weak and is weighing on the region's prospects. In Nigeria, the report says growth in the non-oil sector has been sluggish, while in Angola, the oil sector remained weak. In South Africa, low investment sentiment is weighing on economic activity. The senior World Bank official gave more details.
Excluding these three economies, the rest of Africa is still growing at around 4%. It's important to highlight that Africa's average growth is projected at 2.6% this year, 2019, but the rest of Africa is still performing well. We have started to see some tempering of growth in some of the fastest economies.
The World Bank report shows four of the world's fastest growing economies are in Africa: Ghana, Ethiopia, Rwanda and Cote d'Ivoire. The report is the latest edition of Africa Pulse, the World Bank's economic update for sub-Saharan Africa, published twice a year. It further focuses on accelerating poverty reduction and promoting women's empowerment.
The good news is that Africa is the only region in the world where women are more likely to be entrepreneurs than men. African countries need to facilitate access to productive assets, especially land and financial resources, to the poor and women. Women entrepreneurs can invest in growing their businesses and creating jobs for themselves and for people in their communities.
World Bank officials said the number of African economies considered to be in high risk of external debt distress has doubled, but the rate of deterioration had slowed down. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
The United Nations says about half of all children in Africa are not registered at birth, a lapse that prevents them from accessing essential social services such as health and education. As Columbus Mavinga reports from Zambia's capital, the UN says a number of African countries are working toward addressing this problem, but the countries say resources to make that a reality are scarce.
According to the United Nations, the problem of unregistered children in Africa is worse in rural areas where women give birth at home and don't bother to register the child with the government. Speaking on the sidelines of an ongoing conference of African ministers responsible for civil registration, Kambia Magadio, the head of the UN in Zambia, said the problem makes it hard for such children to build prosperous lives.
If you are not registered at birth, you are not accounted for. Therefore, in many African countries, even access education systems, because to be registered in many schools, you need a birth certificate. And if you are not registered in education systems, you are missing a great opportunity. A great opportunity to be educated, to get employment, and to be out of poverty.
Oliver Chinganya is the director of the African Statistics Center at the UN's Economic Commission for Africa, one of the agencies which organized the five-day conference in Lusaka together with the African Union. He says over the past 8 years, the UN has noticed a tremendous improvement in registration of African children at birth in 42 countries.
We have also noticed that 54% have actually nationalized their digital in their civil registration across the continent. We have also noticed that a number of countries, about 22% of the countries, have now been able to digitalize their national ID systems, which is a great improvement compared to pre-independence and even some 20 years ago.
Zambia is one of the countries that has digitalized their civil registration system. But Stephen Kambongo, Zambia's Minister of Home Affairs, says the Southern African nation and the rest of Africa still have a way to go.
Despite the progress that has been made in many countries, we still have this gap, identity gap, which is quite imminent. And this is so because of the historical background of where we're coming from and the geographic challenges that we have. We still have got rural parts of African member states are geographically challenged to access, and we are discussing ways and means of getting to address some of those challenges.
He said one solution might be mobile registration, where officials visit isolated places where there are no clinics, which makes it difficult for families to register their children. He said UNICEF is helping Lusaka to make that a reality. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Lusaka, Zambia.
Meanwhile, in Zimbabwe, Zimbabweans are reeling as the country's faltering economy continues to plunge. Ade Gonda has more on this story.
Prices of fuel, electricity and food go up almost daily. Trading Economics website recorded the inflation rate at 288.50% in August as food prices surged more than 390%. Bread and meat are now out of reach for most households. Prices of basic goods can jump between the time a consumer puts an item in the shopping cart and gets to the cashier, forcing some to abandon their groceries at the checkout counter. People literally can't afford to get sick. Government doctors demanding major pay increases to offset the rising cost of everything are staying home. Shortages of medicines and other supplies are mounting at hospitals. The water delivery system badly needs an upgrade, and in recent time, cholera outbreaks have occurred. Amid daily blackouts of 12 hours or more, electricity tariffs recently were hiked by 320%, a move that economic analysts say will have a domino effect. Sifela Nijabangwe, a former past president of the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries, agrees.
Certainly, there's a knock-on effect. The prices are going to go up.
Anna Moyo, a 35-year-old mother of three, shares her grief and bewilderment.
As an individual, as a mother, this thing is not working out because even government services, they are also inflating the prices. The prices are going up everywhere, every day. They're just too high for us, for our children. It's just hectic and it's quite unbearable. Honestly, this is unbearable and something needs to be done. The prices are going up daily. Everything is just going up daily. Even the government, the fuel is going up daily. The basic rates of the basic commodities, they are being affected by the fuel. How are we supposed to live like this?
The euphoria that greeted longtime leader Robert Mugabe's overthrow in a coup in 2017 has dissipated as his successor Emmerson Mnangagwa has failed to revive the economy or widen the democratic space, which worsens the feeling of being trapped. The World Bank says Zimbabwe's economy is now in recession. It will shrink by 3.1% in 2019. The United Kingdom-based Economic Intelligence Unit, EIU, which produces specialist economic analysis, predicted an even more frightening 12.9% decline. The government, for its part, keeps promising that things are going to get better. It raised non-taxable income in a bid to give some relief. Observers, however, say this helps little given the rate of inflation. A decision to de-dollarize the economy has largely failed as the newly reintroduced Zimbabwean dollar is on its own slide downward. Rather than blame mismanagement and corruption, Zimbabwe's finance minister blames a drought, foreign currency shortages, and severe power cuts. The government also points the finger at Western imposed economic sanctions. But critics say at the heart of Zimbabwe's economic doldrums are the country's macroeconomic policies, which are inconsistent and undermine public confidence. Zimbabwe's poverty datum line, PDL, for an average family of five jumped 15.18% to 1,617 Zimbabwean dollars in July, up from 1,404 the previous month, as the cost of living continues to rise on the back of unrestrained price increases, according to Zimstat. Bagizanani Dube, a teacher, speaks on his own experiences.
The speed at which these prices are increasing is just disturbing. It is just so serious. It does not only end there at prices increasing, it also shakes the very fundamental core of the family itself. On average, a person gets around 500, which is far, far below the poverty datum line.
Zimbabweans have to brace themselves for more economic challenges, and the government is increasingly looking apprehensive with massive police deployments in urban centers following rumors of protests. Reporting for VOA, this is Adi Gondo.
Officials in Nigeria today said hundreds of boys and men held in squalid conditions and abused at a school escaped before police raided the facility yesterday. The men and boys reportedly had been sent to the school in northern Nigeria for Islamic teaching and to correct behavior problems. Instead, officials say they were beaten and starved. Students came from all over the country and from neighboring nations such as Niger and Chad. This is the second such a school the police have closed in less than a month. The government has promised to crack down on abusive institutions. United Nations aid agencies warn unfolding humanitarian crisis in Burkina Faso is devastating the country's agriculture and economy, destabilizing communities, and putting the lives of severely malnourished children at risk. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA on the findings of an assessment mission by 11 UN aid agencies and NGOs to the country.
Of the 486,000 people displaced since January 1st, more than half have been forced to flee their homes in just the last 3 months. As armed violence continues to escalate, the UN Refugee Agency's principal emergency coordinator, Andrew Imbogori, tells VOA he fears worse is yet to come.
This situation in Burkina Faso is evolving to be a very serious one, and actually we expect this number to double in the next 4 months, and we should be hitting the number of a million, maybe displaced in a couple of months to come. So the situation is really very dire.
Armed conflict in the Sahel is causing an unprecedented humanitarian emergency in the region. The violence, which has been raging in Mali and Niger for years, finally spilled over into Burkina Faso this year. Imbogori says this is having a devastating impact on the population.
Thousands of people are on the move, exhausted and trying to find safety among host families and other transit sites. Many have been repeatedly displaced. The prospects of their immediate return is not there. As a result, their needs and those of host families already vulnerable by food and nutrition in the region are growing.
Marixa Lurilano, the UN Children's Fund Deputy Director for Emergency Operations, says children are among the most vulnerable. She says serious concerns about armed attacks have forced more than 2,000 schools to close, keeping 330,000 children out of the classroom.
So this insecurity that is forcing schools to close is causing that many children are at risk of abuse and exploitation. Many of the girls are at risk of getting married early pregnancies, and some of the children also are at a higher risk of being recruited by armed groups.
Rolano says 68 health facilities have shut down, so more than 800,000 people no longer have access to medical care. This, she says, is particularly unfortunate in a country where 1 million children are malnourished. Of those, she notes, 145,000 are suffering from severe acute malnutrition, putting them at high risk of death. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Douglas Impuga in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent, 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM stations, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 18 hours UTC for another edition of African News Tonight. Thanks very much for choosing the Voice of America. Right.